I invite you to stand as you are able for the gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the 18th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with the 21st verse. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. All right, well, it's pretty straightforward. You got it there. Go forgive people or God's going to torture you. Amen. Last Sunday, I talked about the difficulty in putting our values that we claim into practice. Do we really believe in things such as unconditional love and grace and inclusion, conflict resolution? One of those things that I asked us about was forgiveness. Do we really believe in forgiveness? As a pastor, I see in you when I have conversations with you these things that come across that are very easy for us to do. When God tells us in the book of Exodus, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, those are things we hear and think, yeah, okay, that's easy. I agree. I will do that, and I can do that for the most part. I hope no one here has murdered anybody. Anyways, but forgiveness is one of those things that we hear quite often in the Gospels. Forgiveness is something we hear as Christians and think to ourselves almost universally, "I don't know about that one, God. I don't know if I can do that." I wanted to talk about forgiveness because of the response I hear, not just from you, but also within myself, when we hear that we are called to forgive our brothers and sisters. As Jesus says to Peter, you should forgive 77 times. This symbolic way of Jesus telling Peter, you should forgive endlessly. Almost as though there's no reason for you not to forgive someone who has sinned against you. But I'll tell you, a lot of my pastoral care, probably most of my pastoral care when I sit down with people in my office, is talking about forgiveness. What it is, how to do it, because frankly, we don't really know what forgiveness is. We've gotten the wrong idea about it. and it's not something we tend to like to do. So I wanted to talk about what forgiveness is. And in order to do that, I have to start by what forgiveness is not. Because this is, from my own experience, what I find to be the main reason why people don't want to do it in the first place. So what forgiveness is not? Forgiveness is not allowing someone back into your life who continues to harm you, or who has not changed themselves and will continue to harm you. That is not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not allowing continued abuse to happen to you. Forgiveness is not ignoring the pain, the anger, the hurt, or the grief that has been caused to you by a person or an incident. Namely, forgiveness is not complicity. And I say all of these things because this is what I hear from people that they think forgiveness is. They think forgiveness is being a pushover. Forgiveness is just succumbing and saying, to hell with it. I'm just going to turn the other cheek and let people continue to slap me. But that's not what forgiveness is. In fact, forgiveness in the Bible is a very powerful thing. It's a very empowering thing. The word for forgiveness that we translate into English, the Greek word, is aphemi. And if you translate the word aphemi literally, it means to let go. Simple as that. Forgiveness is to let go. And when done, it is a very powerful, liberating thing. Forgiveness is letting go of the emotional hold that an incident or a person has over you. I imagine throughout your life and in the story that is each and every one of you, inevitably you have experienced pain or hurt from somebody you trusted, somebody you loved, maybe someone you didn't even know. In those moments, though, when that happens, there is a change. You are trapped. There is something that connects itself deep inside of you that lasts for a very, very long time. It could even be described as a prison. Forgiveness is letting go of all of that stuff that holds on to you, that keeps you trapped. It allows you to be free of that so you can look at the pain and the anger and the hurt and the grief for what it is, instead of this thing that looms over you, holding you. Forgiveness is letting go of revenge. Or, another word, justice. Forgiveness is letting go of this idea that everything needs to be returned, an eye for an eye. That when somebody hurts you, or when something hurts you, that there should be consequences to that, and that you need to be the person to give out those consequences yourself. Because once you start going down that rabbit hole, there are consequences to what that does to you as a person. And forgiveness is letting go of that. And sometimes forgiveness is letting go of the people or the person who has hurt you altogether. To let them go to the justice of our system, our judicial system, to let them go to the justice or the consequences that life so naturally brings. Maybe for us as Christians, it is letting go of a person to the grace of God. To allow God to deal with a person in only the way that an all-knowing and loving God can do. Something far beyond any of us. But most importantly, forgiveness is letting go of a cycle. And it's a cycle that Jesus is trying to describe to his disciples in this story today. And it's a story that's kind of lost on us. We need some background information. We need to understand how debt worked in this time. Jesus talks about this king. This king who has a bunch of slaves, a very powerful and rich king. And each of these slaves, in one way or another, owes this king money. But the way the system was set up back then was that this king had a very select group of slaves who would be responsible for collecting that money from slaves below them, and then those slaves would be responsible for collecting money from slaves below them. It would be like this pyramid, and each of them from the bottom would have to pay up their debts to the top. And the way that they earned an income was by keeping a very small amount of that money. And it would just trickle up to this king. We know from this text that what Jesus is saying, the amount of money, 10 talents, that this particular slave owed to his king was a great deal of money. So this would have been one of the slaves up at the top tier. This king brings him forward and says, "Pay up. You owe." And this slave doesn't have it, and so falls on his knees and begs for mercy. And then, as the story goes, the king says, and it's through pity that I forgive you. But what we lose in this is that this king is not just forgiving this one slave of his debt, but he is forgiving the debts of every single person below him who has to pay up. This king, in this one moment, has come in and completely interrupted this cycle of paying debts for everybody below him. This one moment of jubilee where everything is paid off and people can start fresh. It is an act of forgiveness that extends to all characters in this story. And it's beautiful. And then what happens? This particular slave goes and finds one of these bottom people who owes him money, and even though this person is forgiven, says, "Pay up," because of greed. This person who was forgiven, this cycle that was interrupted, it suddenly continues on because of this person's own desire to continue that cycle. And the king finds out and then punishes him. It's not simply because this person didn't forgive the way they were forgiven, but it's because they allowed this cycle to continue. And that's what forgiveness is at the heart of it. It is letting go of the cycle. We live in a world of violence, a world of pain, a world of hurt. And it's a constant cycle that is happening. It's a cycle that each and every one of us participates in. When somebody hurts us and causes us pain, we want to give out consequences to that. When somebody harms our society, our government, there should be consequences to that. And we as people are always trying to keep this cycle going, this cycle of violence, this cycle of pain, this cycle of hurt. We all complain about how bad the world is, but we don't realize how often we participate in the cycles that make it continue to be that way. And that is what Jesus is trying to teach fundamentally, is to break these cycles in our life so that systematically they can be broken throughout society and throughout the world. Forgiveness is letting go of that cycle. And it's hard to describe, but I'm sure we've all encountered it at some point in our lives. I'm sure each and every one of you at some point has been forgiven for something you did wrong. If it's been an emotional hurt that you've caused someone else, and you know deep down that this person has absolutely no cause to let you back into their life, to care for you, to love you. It doesn't make any sense, but for some reason they forgive you. There's this feeling that creates deep down. And it's hard to describe, but it is the most amazing feeling you could ever have. That is the feeling of that cycle being broken. I get to encounter this on a daily basis here at the preschool. Kids are wonderful, by the way. They do not follow the binary of our world. Kids are both very good at getting revenge and forgiving at the same time. I constantly see our preschoolers get stepped on, get poked, get bumped, get hit. And I see this one flash of anger come in them that they're going to get them back. Sometimes they do. And then our teachers and sometimes myself, we get to be part of this moment where we say, forgive them. And I'll tell you, without hesitancy, without an ulterior motive, with no desire to appease us, but with all of the sincerity and genuineness in the world, these kids do it every time. I forgive you. And they hug, and then they go and play like nothing ever happened. It's gone. That feeling is completely gone, like it never happened. And it is the most amazing thing to hold. It's one of the many ways that these kids constantly teach me about our faith. And I have a master's degree in this stuff. But I always get a little sad after, too. Because I know every single one of those kids, as they grow older, will learn this cycle. That the older they get, when those hurts come again, they're going to hold on to it just a little bit longer. They're going to seek consequences just a little bit more. And this cycle will continue. Each and every single one of you has the power to let go of this cycle in your life. Every single one of you has the power to forgive those people or those things that have hurt you in your life. And I'll tell you, it's hard. It is a lot harder than seeking revenge. But it's also really hard to share God's love with those around us. Yet that's what we are called to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.